I want to welcome everybody in the world who's participating and looking in. We thank God for this technology that He has wrought. And we want to welcome you to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class. My name is Daniel White III. I know that sounds pompous, but my dad is Daniel White Jr. And I'm sure he does not want people to get us mixed up. And my oldest son's name is Daniel White IV. And I certainly don't want his name to get mixed up with mine. But anyway, I'm the president of Gospel Light Society International and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer. The purpose of this time together is to teach young believers everything they need to know about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge they need to live victorious Christian lives and to help them grow in the faith. Our key Bible verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 for this series. And the Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And one of the reasons why we have been so long in this series is because for every born-again Christian, there will be a lifelong battle with temptation. You will always be tempted to do evil, as were our fathers, our forefathers, and our foremother in the Garden of Eden. Temptation is a fact of life. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for all of the lessons of the past, and we thank you that they're out there in the world, all over the world via the internet, there to help Christians grow and to stand strong and firm in the faith and to be victorious. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, for we are totally dependent upon you to preach, teach your holy word in the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask you for a fresh anointing and unction and power of your Holy Spirit to share your holy word, but not only that, to hear your holy word and to do it. Even in these perilous times, even in these days where the love of many has waxed cold, even in these days where people will not endure sound doctrine, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost, the revival of those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 117, dealing with the temptation and the evil and the sin of envy. This particular temptation and sin is one of those unseen sins deep down in our hearts and lives that some people really have a problem with. Similar to anger and wrath, many people are dead because of this sin. Lives have been devastated because of this sin called envy. Envy. And I told you that the first sermon I ever preached, for some reason, was titled Envy! Exclamation point. Be that as it may, in this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers, by the way, that was 40 years ago, so it's a long time. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations and sins that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We are looking at what the Bible says about these sins, these temptations, so we can be aware of its dangers, and so that we can hide Holy Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted. The sin that we are looking at today is the sin of envy. This is the fifth sin in a list of 12 temptations and sins that comes from us, from two sources, one ancient and one more modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the Seven Deadly Sins, or the Cardinal Sins. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations and sins Americans admitted to struggling with. And while I'm there, as a child of God, as a born-again Christian believer in Christ, one of the things you need to do right from the start is be honest. Do not lie. Be transparent. Be real. If you're struggling with something, admit it. God has provided brothers and sisters in Christ in the church to help you with it. Now, we don't want you to go into an enabling group where there's a bunch of people who are struggling with, for example, so-called sex addiction, and you go confessing and sharing and with an evil motive, and they want to listen with an evil motive. We're not talking about mess like that now. And there's too much of that going on. But there are good brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, who have already gone through this, and they have the victory over it, and they can help you. Do not think nobody in the church is having the same temptations that you're having. Is not having the same temptations you're having. There are many people in the church who are being tempted in the same way. So today we're talking about envy. We're looking at Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. And this is the passage that I used some 40 years ago. Please remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class. So you can go to our website, gospellighthouseofprayer.com, click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the home page, and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons. Now notice, the children had chores, the children worked. And this is something that is missing in the American society today, and even in the Christian family. Believe it or not, I learned more about this from a Mennonite family, where they still raise their children to work together. They had a job from day one, and they learned how to do that job very well. And they went on out when they came to age and did the same job, and they've always had a job because they started with their father in the family business. I just thought I would point that out. Verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And many fathers make this mistake of loving the latter children more than the older children. Everybody likes the baby or the babies and all of that sort of thing. Thank God for those fathers who don't make that mistake, and I'm one of them. I love all of my children the same, and it's wrong for fathers to do that. So don't think because Israel did it, it was right. It wasn't right. Why? Because it breeds envy. It breeds envy. Listen to me very carefully. He is just as responsible. He is just as responsible as the brethren. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. He's just as guilty as the brethren, who became envious and jealous of their baby brother. Because Israel should not have loved his child, his baby child, more than the others. It's wrong to do that. Because he was the son of his old age. Not just because he was the son of Rachel, but because he was the son of his old age, baby boy. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now they didn't have anything to do with what Israel was doing and the wrong that he was doing. Joseph didn't have anything to do with it. But they hated him because his father loved him more than the other children. Whenever you do that, and you're not even-handed and you're not balanced, you can be responsible. People in authority can be responsible for breeding envy and jealousy. Sometimes it can be the siblings who do it. You've heard of sibling rivalry. You got siblings who try to outdo each other for various and sundry reasons. And as one pastor in North Georgia said one time, a little bit of that is healthy. There's a healthy form of that, because it kind of drives people on and pushes people on to do better. But it can get out of hand. A little healthy, where you still love one another, healthy competition. I made an A. What did you make, kind of thing, that would drive the other sibling to make an A2. I recall when my third daughter, she was the first one to start getting national recognition for her grades. And then when the older two daughters, particularly the oldest child, found out about that, said, "Wow, I didn't know you could even do that." She started studying more, and it spurred her on so much so that she started reading almost all of her textbooks in college and started writing copious notes. She was a good student already, but she was not doing like this, my third daughter. So Some of that is healthy. Competition is good. It helps push people to higher levels. It's okay. As long as you have the right kind of heart and love in your heart for your siblings or family member or friend. Now, when you get to the point where you can't even speak to somebody, you're so envious of them and so jealous of them, you can't speak to them, now you got a problem. And certainly when you get to the point where you envy them and you're so jealous of them, you want to kill them, you really got a problem. So we're not talking about that. Dr. Harold Coffin said, envy is the art, and I love this statement. Envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own. And he's so right about that. And we have a whole, listen to me, and we live, listen to me very carefully. This passage was apropos 40 years ago, but it is more so today. 40 years ago, people, none of us ever thought about something called social media. None of us thought about the internet. None of us thought about the iPhone. We never dreamed of anything like this. Android phone. None of us ever thought about having a device in our hand in Timbuktu, Africa, and able to listen to a preacher like me in America in real time, live, and then on demand. We never heard of anything. We never thought about anything like Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Pinterest, Instagram. And so what's happening? We have not only people envying other people, and I feel so sorry for them. We got half the world envying half of the world, and half of the world trying to get people to envy them. That's what many of these shows, like the Kim Kardashian shows and all that realist reality shows, are all about. It's all about, look at me. One day I'm in St. Bart's, look at me. The next day I'm in Hawaii, look at me. The next day I'm in LA, look at me. The next day I'm down in Australia, look at me. Look at me, y'all. I'm taking a picture. I know you wish you were here. I know you wish you could do that. But you got to work your little job and pay me thousands of dollars to look at me. I want you to envy me. That's what it's about. And half the world is depressed because they go online and they see these people everywhere and they are envious. And then some begin to live vicariously through them, which is sad because they're not living the lives that God has given to them. And you're counting the blessings of somebody else when you ought to be counting your own blessings. And so in our passage for today, we encounter envy once again, raising its ugly head in Jacob's family and in your family. And some families are worse than others. Some races are worse than others. I believe white folks are worse than black folk when you come down to this. I don't know why. I had a white brother to tell me that in their families and even in their churches, they're very competitive. Envy can be a problem in almost every aspect of life. But envy is more dangerous when it occurs within a family. You might envy the success of someone you see on television every now and then, but you can't do anything to hurt that person. However, if you envy your sibling or your spouse or your in-laws it is a different matter. Sad to say, ladies and gentlemen, some parents envy their own children. This is why I have told people, there are some parents that you are not to let stay in your family home as children. Because you got some parents so sick, so small-minded, so envious of your success and your freedom, of what God has blessed you with, they can't stand it. And they will try to sabotage your life and get in between you and your husband, get in between you and your children, plant little devilish thoughts in the minds of your family members, your immediate family. Unless the parents have been good to you all your life, I believe it's best in this day and time that you let them stay someplace else. You help them as much as you can, but let them stay in their own house or someplace else. Call Joan London and find a place for Mom. I hate to say it. I know that does not sound nice, and I know that does not sound very nice and sweet, but you know your mother. You know how your father is. It'd be better for you to let them stay elsewhere, because you got some folks, some parents so sick, they are so sad in their minds. They have never self-actualized in their life, and they see you self-actualizing and doing stuff 20, 30 years before they did, which they knew they should have done, such as get a degree, such as write a book, such as travel to various countries, go on vacation, raise the family right, not run off her husband, not run off the wife. They see you spending more time with their grandchildren, and they didn't spend time with you. They'll envy you. Their parents are so immature today, so sick. And they're mostly baby boomers, because they know they didn't do right, and so they're jealous of their own children. It's so sad. This was not, it was not like this in the past. There are parents who are envious of their children in the ministry, because they've gotten more opportunities and more privileges than they did. Instead of being happy, that's one thing I can say about my dad, Daniel White Jr. He saw me traveling and preaching the gospel over the world. It was just unbelievable to him, as rebellious as I was. He knew God saved me. My dad was my biggest fan. He was happy for me. He was happy for me. He supported me and wanted to know what I was doing. And he was so thrilled when I would send him a postcard from Paris or Rome or the Philippines. He was so thrilled. And that's how parents ought to be. Not sitting there sulking and sad and mad and trying to bring up some negativity, some mess from the past, because the child is doing well now. The child is thinking, I thought you were going to be happy for me. The child wants to hear, praise the Lord, son. Praise the Lord, daughter. God is blessing you. God is using you. Give him a pat on the back. Give him a hug. Keep on going. Here's some money to help you along the way. So last week it was Rachel being envious of Leah's blessing in childbearing. That is sad when people are envious because God is blessing you. Now, here's the mark of a mature Christian. I'm here to tell you, because of the Jesus inside of you, the mark of a stable and mature Christian, they are genuinely happy for you, if God is blessing you in a special way, or God is blessing you in a way that may seem like it's better than their blessings, if I can even say that. They are genuinely happy to see you progress. They are genuinely happy about your happy marriage. They are genuinely happy about your child turning out right, maybe when their child did not turn out right. That's the sign of being born again. That's the sign of being saved. That's the sign of maturity, Christian maturity. It's a sign of being broken. It's the sign of being dead to self and to the world. That's the sign of having Christ in control of your life. When you're happy to see others climb on up a little higher. You're happy to hear them being praised when you're not being praised. You're happy to see them get an honor that you will never get. And then God will bless you in a special way if you have that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit. So this week, ladies and gentlemen, we see Leah's sons being envious of the favor that Jacob showed to his son, Joseph, Rachel's son, Joseph, his and Rachel's son, Joseph. Now remember, he was 17 years old. These are not young chaps, little kids. We could say that this is a family curse being passed down, a generational curse. And you see how it flips? At first, Rachel was envious of Leah. Now, Leah's boys are envious of Rachel's son. It's also a case for having one man and one woman in marriage and not having multiple wives. Polygamy. Now, personally, I'm all for it, but God evidently is not. That's just the truth. We all know what came of the envy of Joseph's brothers. In fact, by the way, it's one of the greatest stories ever written, ever passed down. One of the most beautiful stories in the history of the world. I don't care how many times you read the full story, it will speak to your heart. They resented the fact that their father, Jacob, was obviously more favorable to the firstborn of his favorite wife and baby boy of them all. Jacob made Joseph a fancy robe, commonly referred to as the coat of many colors. And not only do I want to say that Jacob was guilty, and the brothers were guilty, but as you read the story, the full story, I don't think Joseph was completely innocent. He had that little brotherly kind of thing going on where he kind of rubbed it in a little bit. And then he went and told the father. He was, some people would call him a tattletale, a snitch. And it seemed like Joseph kind of basked in the babyhood privileges. So everybody has contributed to this sin called envy. And that's often the case. It did not help things any when Joseph had a dream that his brothers and his father, Jacob, took to mean that they all would one day bow down to him. See, this is what I'm saying. Did Joseph have to tell them the dream? Could he not have kept the dream to himself and realized that it was going to happen? Could he have just told his father about it, maybe, and asked his father to keep it a secret? Oh no, he's got to go tell his brothers. One day y'all going to bow down to me. I'm going to be like a king. You're going to be like servants. That'll get the folks going, my friend, down in the hood. The Bible says at this point, his brethren envied him even more, but his father observed the saying. Why would Jacob observe the saying? Because Jacob had some dreams of his own. He was a dreamer too, not just Joseph. And so the envy of Joseph's brothers led some of them to plot his murder. Reuben, the responsible oldest brother, discouraged them from doing this and set about to secretly deliver Joseph from them. But when Reuben's back was turned, Judah convinced the rest of his brothers to sell Joseph into slavery and pretend that they had found his body, along with evidence that he had been killed by a wild animal. Now, there are some children like this even living today. They love for their younger siblings to suffer some kind of calamity because they know, or they feel, or they sense, or they think, maybe oftentimes falsely, that you care for that child more. And so when that child gets hurt or gets involved in a calamity, you can't wait to go tell your parent because you want to see his or her broken heart. Ultimately, God intervened and used this tragic instance of familial hatred and envy as the means of saving Jacob's family from severe famine. That is what God often does with our wicked ways and sins and plots. He takes a mess and turns it into something that has a positive outcome. The terrible behavior of Joseph's brothers shows us the danger of envy, the tragedy of envy, and why we should guard against it at all times. And by the grace of God, I want to revisit this passage, this story next week to bring out some more points. I just gave you the helicopter view today, but guard your heart against envy and jealousy. Pray without ceasing. Ask God to give you a mature heart, a loving heart, a heart that is humble, that is so humble and so Christ-like that even if a sibling rises above you in life, I know of a company right now, the same Mennonite company. The baby boy was the brightest. The baby boy was the smartest. He was the quickest to learn things. He also knew how to handle the customers from the time he was like 13 or 14 years old. Smiled easily. And now he's the CEO and president of the company over all of his other brothers. And I believe his father, Jerry, saw that and told the brothers, told the family, that's what I want. I want Jonathan to be the president and the CEO. And you know what? The other brothers have fallen in line. They're still a part of the family business. They have been placed over other responsibilities. But the main business that they started, that the father started, the baby son is over it all. It's a multi-million-dollar company. So don't be envious. Be humble and accept your place in life. And if God chooses to raise you up, let him do it. If God chooses to raise somebody else up, you humble yourself you show deference and the right respect for them, and you do your part and give God the glory. And if you take that attitude, in time, if it's God's will, God will raise you up to do something. But if you take the attitude of being envious and jealous and mean and hateful and can't even speak to your sister, can't speak to your brother, you hate your brother, you hate your sister, got an attitude towards them, you can't speak peaceably with them, God's not going to bless that. That's ungodly. It's not Christ-like. So, dear friend, if you struggle with envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Now, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, St. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible, the Holy Bible, says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And all you have to do is believe on him and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, because I realize that I deserve hell. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.